Well, hello everyone. This is Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates, and you are on the Entrepreneurial Edge Success Circle High Content Call. And today's subject is your hidden hardwiring that reveals your decision-making needs and your clients too. I want to welcome everyone, any new members that we have on the call. If this is your first call, welcome, and to those existing members, also welcome. I do want to, before I get started, as I do every call, remind you of some upcoming events. So if you don't have a pen and paper or your calendar ready, you might want to get that ready, because I'm going to share with you what some of the upcoming events are. I just want to remind you, on August 24th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we have our Q&A call. Now remember, the Q&A call is to ask any questions that you have. So as you walk through your Entrepreneurial Edge system, there's certainly a lot to do, and you might have questions about it or questions about your business. This is the time to submit them for the Q&A. We do answer the questions on that, so you can simply send them to info@accelerateassociates.com, and we'll be sure to answer those. So mark your calendar for August 24th. Also, tomorrow, August 11th, I'll be interviewing Lisa Mannion, who is a marketing specialist, and I will be interviewing her on my Navigating Change radio show, which is on Blog Talk Radio. So that's blogtalkradio.com/navigating_change. And that starts at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. She's going to talk about powering up your promotional copy. She's going to talk about how to really rev up that promotional copy that you have out there so it really attracts your ideal clients. So you don't want to miss that session. But, of course, if you do, remember you can catch the podcast, and we'll also put the podcast on the Success Circle site, so you'll be sure to get it. Now, I just want to also remind everyone that we have our high content and laser coaching in September. September 14th, I believe, is the second Tuesday of the month. So remember to schedule your laser coaching call. Again, email info@accelerateassociates.com. And remember, that is also the high content call. So you may want to schedule that on your calendar right now at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have an upcoming webinar series on September 22nd, Continuous Clients and Cash. And what that is a webinar series. So if you don't have prospects contacting you daily or getting into your lead generation or permission-based marketing system, and you don't have prospects every day that's coming into that system, then you need to be on this webinar. The registration for that is at freebusinessplanformat.com/continuous clients registration. freebusinessplanformat.com/continuous clients registration. Of course, that link, if you didn't catch it, is also in the Success Circle under links, so you can catch that link there too to register. So look forward to having you in that webinar series. So it's going to be great. It's going to be really, really great. All the information you want on that class is also on that webinar class is available on that link that I just gave. I think that was it for all of the upcoming programs and messages. We are going to have more free teleseminars. I'll just kind of give you a hint. There's a free teleseminar in the works about creating your social media edge. We're also going to have a webinar on strategizing, systemizing, and optimizing your social media. So you want to take a look at that. If you're not on our eZine, Accelerator eZine, it will be in those. So we'll make sure that our Success Circle members are also notified of that. Well, in this high content call today, I'm going to talk about how your motivational drivers impact the sales process, and maybe what you're not doing that might be killing some of your sales, and how to spot how prospects want to receive their information, and then how to speak in their language. And we're going to talk about, too, the 98% of what 98% of what business owners are missing that prevents them from sealing the deal authentically every time. And, you know, I constantly see the struggles out there that people have in sealing the deal. And so many people still are coming up to me and saying, you know, I just feel inauthentic about the sales process. And it's usually because they're missing part of a formula. And it's important to have all the elements of that formula so you're not feeling that inauthentic way. And, you know, some people feel salesy, and it doesn't have to be salesy. You know, when you're out there and you have the right systems and you have the right formula, it's not salesy. And you end up closing or sealing the deal at a much higher rate because you have some of these elements, which we're going to review today. But first of all, what I want to do is go over, now for some of you this might be a review, but for others it may not be or may be new for you. But I often talk about your natural hardwiring. It's part of mastering your inner entrepreneur, and it's important to you in the sales process. But it's part of what's called your hidden hardwiring. Your hidden hardwiring is something you're born with. And we're all born with this combination of hardwiring. And it determines how we make our decisions, how we approach things. Now, if some of you have taken any types of what many people refer to as personality assessments, which they're not about personality, they're more about your natural wiring, then you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about here. But what's underneath that is important because it does affect how people look at the sales process and how they execute that sales process. Now, remember, some of this too is also about your belief system. So if you're believing that the sales process has to be, you know, this slimy process, then your actions are going to follow your belief systems as well. So that's one part of the equation. The other part of the equation is how you're going to execute. Well, when people, what we know about the hardwiring is when people get under a lot of stress and pressure, they're going to revert back to their natural hardwiring. Why? Because it's natural to who they are. And so we naturally go back to our comfort zone, and our comfort zone is our natural hardwiring. So let me give you some examples of this hardwiring. There are some people who are naturally born to be more of what's called a team orientation. And a team orientation is they typically don't like a lot of conflict. In fact, they will shy away from conflict. If they feel pressured at all, the answer is going to be no, okay? Because they view that pressure as conflict. So they're going to want to go the other way, and it'll be extremely stressful for them. Now, if you, as the person who may be selling your products or services, are wired in more of a team orientation, it may be difficult for you to ask for the sale. Why? Because in asking for the sale, you very well may be the, you know, you want to avoid conflict, right? So if you're team orientation, you want to avoid conflict, you may look at asking for a sale as conflict. Why? Because it's quite possible the person may say no. And so you may never ask for the sale. And so what happens is, as somebody who's selling their services, and this is where I'm going to focus first before we get into then how to speak the language of people that you're selling to. But if you are the type of individual that is wired for team orientation, it's going to be important for you to also have the systems that will help do the selling for you. And if you're missing the systems, and some of those systems are how you use your website, how you use a lead generation system to bring in prospects in the first place, how you're pre-educating them, and it's all available in the Entrepreneurial Edge system, even the self-study program, so if you don't have it yet, you might want to get it. But it's important to understand that part of the sales process and sealing the deal is one part skill, one-part system, but part of that skill is also understanding how you're naturally wired. And so if you're naturally wired to not like conflict, you know, you may never ask for the sale. Now, how do you approach someone who may be somebody who doesn't like conflict? Well, first of all, how do you know that? Well, if you try to debate something with them and they just become very silent or they try to walk away from you, it very well may be that they don't like a lot of conflict. In fact, behaviorally, sometimes they will even take a step back. So behaviorally, you can notice that if you're talking to the person and maybe you are trying to sell to them and, you know, they're taking that step back or sitting back in their seat, you very well may try to advance your agenda or your proposal and they are resisting that just by that simple, you know, stepping back or sitting back in their chairs. So, how do you need to seal the deal with somebody who is more of this team orientation? Well, you have to look at giving them a case for advancing a proposal without a lot of conflict. So what does that mean? It just simply means that you need to perhaps keep it open-ended so that the choice is theirs, so that they don't feel that pressure. So some questions that you can ask them is, when would you like to make that decision? Or what's important to you about making this decision? And here you can find out to them what is most important. If they feel any pressure whatsoever, though, they're going to typically say no. So you've got to really watch out for some of those behavioral cues. The other hardwiring that you want to take a look at is the independent expediter. The independent expediter is a real go-getter. I mean, they like to win. They talk in terms of tangible results. You will often hear them say, well, let me tell you about this. They're going to be more directive or authoritative, and they're going to use words like I, me, or my. Now, if this is you, then you like your information in bullet points. You probably talk in bullet points too. You would talk in goal orientation. You might introduce yourself using your first and last name. You might focus on the best, you know, the best of everything. You know, you might have preferences to, you know, focus on image, for example. And it's important to remember, too, that if you are this individual, kind of individual, you might talk about these things that are important to you that may not be important, may or may not be important to your prospect, the person that you're talking to. So some of the things to look at is how a person is talking to you or how your prospect is talking to you. Are they talking to you in bullet points? Are they telling you about results? Are they goal-oriented? Is what they're telling you more of a task orientation? Are they focusing on more the numbers or in bullet points? These are things to look at. Also, sometimes somebody who's more of an independent expediter happens to be or can be perceived as abrupt in their communication style, can be perhaps rude in their communication style. Because of their task orientation, they will tend to not necessarily be chit-chatters, but get to the heart of the matter. They want to focus on just the results. So if you're meeting with somebody like that, of course you want to make sure that your meeting is focused on their goals, their results, what they want to achieve, what is the best choice, and that's going to help you seal the deal more likely in the sales process. but there's other combinations that this individual could be in. For example, if they're a type of individual who processes information very quickly, well, they're going to process information quickly, but the kind of information they want, the goals, the objectives, the outcomes. If I'm going to invest in this, what are my actual outcomes going to be? What are my guarantees going to be? Okay, so they're going to be looking in terms of tangible things. And again, remember to cue in on some of the things they might say, like I, me, my, you know, let me tell you what I think, I did this, or, so you're going to pay attention to some of those keys, maybe some of the jewelry they're wearing. It might tend to be more high-end jewelry that they're also wearing, the finest, you know, the more finer clothes. And so those will be indications. Now, some people that are independent expediters are also perceived as arrogant. So sometimes that if you note a sense of arrogance or self-assuredness to the point of arrogant, that's how independent expediters are can be perceived. So just keep that kind of in the back of your mind, and as you're communicating to somebody like this, remember, make sure your information is in bullet points, it's goal-oriented, it's results-focused. Now, if you're dealing with somebody who's an internal thinker, or maybe you yourself are an internal thinker, it's important to understand that people that are internal thinkers need time to think. They look at the value of what they're getting. You need to prove kind of the value to them. They often like to communicate through email or phone, and they, before they say anything, internal thinkers like to really think about things. But how that gets translated, because there's so much in their head and they're thinking about what you're saying, oftentimes what you will see on the outside is this blank stare or this lack of reaction. This is a good indication that you're dealing with somebody who's an internal thinker. Now, they don't get heavily into chit-chat. They tend to, you know, go into smaller groups when they're in networking opportunities. They like to meet more one-on-one. Again, it gives them time to think, and they like that time just to mull over all of the options that are available to them. So now if you're an internal thinker, just remember that you may be giving your prospects some cues that has this lack of emotion on your face as you're thinking about what they're saying. And if you're dealing with somebody who's an external thinker, which I'll describe in just a minute, you want to be cautious of that. Likewise, if you're dealing with somebody who is, and you're selling to somebody who is an internal thinker, if they have kind of this blank look on their face, it very well could be that they're an internal thinker and they are internalizing what it is that you're saying. Now, conversely, if you're dealing with somebody who's an external thinker, they're going to be more persuasive. You'll notice that they're doing a lot, using a lot of descriptive words. They may go, you know, sometimes they may use a lot of words to describe their situation, okay? And they may appear somewhat, you know, verbal or too verbal or verbose. And they use the words us and we a lot. We should do this. So you're going to notice that they also provide a verbal response to you when you say something. So if you tend to, when somebody's talking to you, say, yep, uh-huh, I know what you're saying, then you actually may be that external thinker. But if you're talking to somebody who does that, yep, mm-hmm, and they nod a lot and they're acknowledging you, it could be that they are an external thinker. You know, they may be a bit disorganized. They like their information more face-to-face. And it's important to them, that they feel heard. So as a person who may be selling a product or service, or you're meeting with somebody who's an external thinker, it's important that you acknowledge what they're saying. So they need a verbal response. So remember, people will communicate to you the way they want to be communicated to. So if they're saying, yep, I hear what you're saying, chances are they're an external thinker and they want that back. And so it's important, even if you're an internal thinker, for you to acknowledge what they're saying by simply saying something like, yes, I understand what you're saying, or I hear what you're saying. Or even repeat a piece of what they've said is, so if I'm understanding you, this is what you're saying, to acknowledge that you heard what this external thinker has said. They tend to be more persuasive, and they promote ideas and things well, and they use a lot of descriptive words to describe a situation or describe what's going on. Sometimes with an external thinker, though, you may want to schedule a meeting that's a little bit longer than what you had planned. Because they tend to be more, use more words, your conversations go on longer. Now, two descriptors I'm going to use are those people who process information quickly and those people who are more orderly and next step. And your approach is going to be a little differently. The people that process information quickly, behaviorally, what you're going to look for is people maybe clicking their pen, people banging their pens on the, you know, their pad of paper. Maybe they're wiggling their foot as their feet are crossed. This is a sign of somebody who is more impulsive, who's a quick thinker, who talks fast. And so you may notice their pace, or they may even interrupt you. This is a good indicator that this person processes information very quickly. So what you want to do in the sales process is you want to identify timelines, when things are due, when they want a decision, what their timeline is, because it's going to be important to them. Now, if they're a combination of both somebody who is that independent expediter, the person who likes to win and wants results, and they're a person who wants to process information quickly, they're going to want to know the quickest route between point A and point B. So it's important to understand and look for some of these other cues and pinpoint exactly who it is that you're talking to. So they're going to give you multiple clues of where they fall in these different areas. Now, if you're an individual who is quick and impulsive and a quick thinker and you talk fast and you're dealing with somebody who's more orderly, an orderly person is going to want to know the stages of the process. They're going to be more chatty. They're going to be nice. In fact, they're a very nice person. You're going to need to let them know the next order or process. But the more pressure you put on somebody who likes their information very orderly and process-oriented, the more pressure you put on them to make a decision, the less they're going to be able to respond to you. So, understand, if you are a person who processes information quickly, and you're putting that pressure on somebody who's more orderly, then it could backfire on you, because the more pressure you put on an orderly person, the more they resist. Conversely, if you're the person who's more orderly, and you are talking to a prospect who processes information quickly, they may not think you have what it takes to get them where they want to be, especially if you're not keeping up with their pace of conversation and pace of thinking. Now, you could be the best solution for them, especially if they're going in many directions and trying to get there really fast. You could actually be a compliment to them, so actually you can point out how that would compliment them the best, because by doing that, you create systems of great quality, especially if you're naturally wired to create processes and and stages of how to get from point A to point B. You're a great executor by your nature, but you have to have the stages lined out. Otherwise, you won't like change if you're somebody who likes their information very orderly and next step. Now, the second set I want to get to is people that are more informal versus the more formal or judgment and proof. The more informal you are, you're going to have a very casual approach. Individuals that you encounter that may be your prospects to, the casual approach is going to be, you know, they kind of shoot from the hip. You know, they say something and then they think about it later. They think that a rule book is just a guideline. Okay, so rules are just guidelines. And they don't need a lot of information to make a decision. And you would have to do the follow-up with them. Generally, they will make the decisions fairly quickly and on the spot. But you've also, they sometimes don't think things really through because they don't need a lot of information. So they're more informal, too, in their approach. Many people describe people that don't need a lot as more the cowboys or cowgirls. Again, you'll notice, too, that if you try to provide a lot of information to them and they don't need a lot of information, they'll start tuning out. So you'll notice this glazed-over approach or look at, on their face. So you want to really pay attention to that. Now, especially if you're a person who is more formal and likes to give a lot of information, you want more judgment and proof. You want to make sure things are exactly right. So you think that everybody wants this information. Well, your prospect may not be that wired that way. But if they're asking you a lot of questions, if they are seeking a lot of information, if they're looking at the barriers to doing business with you, chances are they have they're very high in this judgment and proof and structure. And they need to see it. They need to see the tangibles. And a great question to ask them is, what would prevent them from moving forward? And give them plenty of time to answer that question. You know, don't feel pressure to, you know, allow that silence to happen. Now, people who are high in the structure and information are also skeptical. They're going to be very reserved. They're going to want to serve people. They show people that they know, like, and trust, how they like them through their service. And so you do want to take a look at the behavioral cues with people that need a lot of that information and proof. Now, one of the things that people who want a lot of information and proof, again, they'll ask you a lot of questions. They will be more reserved. Chances are they're going to be more punctual to your meetings. So you really want to make sure you know who you're meeting with and how you are naturally wired as well. So these are going to, as you cue in on some of the behavioral styles, and this just doesn't happen overnight, you really have got to practice it. You've got to really listen to what people are telling you, how they're telling it to you, the pace at which they're telling it to you, and what they are telling you. So the what is kind of, are they focused on more of the goals and the bullet points? And is it, slightly, I wouldn't say abrasive, but sometimes like a really high dominant person can be very abrupt in how they're talking. So pay attention to how they're saying it, what they're saying it, the pace they're saying it, and the level of detail that people are saying it. And these are going to help you hone in on what type of profile that you're working with and how they want their information. So mirroring back that how they want to receive their information is going to be important. So, you know, again, pay attention for cues. You know, they might even tell you, well, I'm a planner. I'm a person who likes to plan. So planners sometimes tend to be the people that are more structured. They want to make sure things don't go wrong, so they tend to overplan or try to look at all the barriers that might be in their way, and so you really want to pay attention to some of those key things that they will tell you during the conversation if you listen. And again, this comes over time, so it's important for you to listen to what they're saying. Now, the reason why some of this doesn't work and people are not converting prospects to clients, you know, 98% of the time is because, or, you know, between 95 and 98% of the time, is largely because people are trying to, they may look at the sales process as salesy, number one, and number two, they may not have the systems involved in creating the relationships, in creating a pre-qualification, in helping the prospects pre-educate. Now, this is all a part of sealing the deal. And again, in the Entrepreneurial Edge system, you can seal the deal 95 to 98% of the time by having the Seal the Deal system. So, how does that work? Well, you really want to take a look at what your sales funnel looks like. How do people get introduced to you, find out about you, find you, and how are you pulling them in? Are you pulling them in through a permission-based marketing system or a lead generation system that allows them to pre-educate and get to know you, even if it's through a system, but they get to know you, they're exposed to you, and through your lead generation system, if set up, or permission-based marketing, I'm going to use those terms interchangeably, when you do that, you also get marketing data that will help you get continuous information from them, and that's set up through a system. And you create that initial connection with them by asking them questions in terms of where they are, so you understand your market, you understand your ideal client, and you're getting information from them. And a lot of times that, you know, you've got all this hidden hardwiring that's going on in a face-to-face, but there's not a lot of mistakes that people make, and many business owners make, is that they don't have all of this pre-automation done that can help your prospects self-select before they even get to you. Because the ideal is if when they get to you, that you don't have to do any selling. You know, having this hard wiring, or, you know, knowing about the hard wiring is all you have to focus on when you meet with them, so you can deliver your message more effectively to them. But you have all this pre-education and pre-qualification because you have systems in place. And that's what 98% of business owners are missing, that really prevents them from sealing the deal more authentically. And what happens is, when you don't have this, it makes it, when you do meet with somebody, that much more difficult. So the first step in the process is looking at focusing on, you know, do you have a system that helps people, not only pre-educates them, but pre-qualifies them? And in that system, do you have a way of getting market data that will help you serve your ideal client more efficiently, more effectively, and on a much deeper level, so that when you do meet with them, you're helping a client just get to a different level and very much more quicker, because you had systems at work doing the work for you. The other piece is in really looking at your decision-making, your client's decision-making, and how it's going to help you really seal the deal is looking at your ideal clients, even kind of in their before stage, before they even know that they need your services. And this is going to be important because it's part of the decision-making process and when they do work with you. It's also, as you as the business owner, important to know when people are coming into your pipeline. Because people are coming into your pipeline, they may not be ready to buy from you until 60, 90 days, maybe 3 months, maybe 5 years. But if you know that and you know their before state, you can develop your sales funnel or your systems to help bring them through that entire process. So you kind of want to know your ideal client, what's happening them in the before state, and if they are currently ready to buy from you today, what does that current state look like, what's predictable, and what do they want as their future state? And what do they want for their future? So it's important to know exactly and precisely who your ideal clients are, too, in this whole process. Because, again, people who've worked with me know, I will often say, if you try to cast a wide net and try to be everything to everybody, you'll be nothing to nobody. But when you're really focused, you know if where you're networking is actually attracting your ideal clients. You know that when you meet with somebody, is this your ideal client? You'll know that right away. But if you don't have a system that helps pre-qualify, you're going to be spending time with people who really aren't your ideal clients, and their decision-making process will be more difficult for them because you haven't given them anything to pre-qualify on. So it'll make this sealing the deal even that much more difficult and their decision-making that much more difficult. And you, again, will feel like you're in the sales mode. Now, remember, too, that you'll also take a look at providing choices. In decision-making, you know, we're working with a more educated consumer because take a look at where people go. When they're looking for a solution to their problem, they're going to the internet. You want them to find you. Then you want them to choose you through your automated systems. And when they do choose you and they're ready to make that decision, then you want to provide some choices. Now, understand this about the sales process too, that people, if you're working with somebody who's an internal thinker, they're going to need to think about things. But if you're working with somebody who's more of an external thinker, they are more of a feeler. They want to feel good about a situation versus think about something. So the experiences that they have in your systems and on your website, and this is why it's all part of really knowing who your preferred client is that you're going to be using terminology that identifies your ideal client and your ideal client's hardwiring. Okay? So you're going to do that by using words like if you struggle with thinking X, or if you struggle with feeling X. Again, that targets both internal and external thinkers. But if you have a preference on who you want to work with in your ideal client, then you're going to want to use the words that will attract the internal or the external thinker. For many years, just to give you an example of this, for many years, I worked in human resources. And at one point in my career, I was in charge of executive recruiting. And we looked at restructuring, both executive and non-executive recruiting. And at one point, I was restructuring the human resources department. But I needed somebody very specifically wired, hardwired for a job because I was restructuring the organization. I needed actually somebody who would recruit so I could do some other things that I needed to do as the vice president of human resources. And I needed them to be proactive. I needed them to connect well with people. I needed them to have a high sense of urgency, and I needed them to have good follow-up and follow-through skills. And this is the power of making sure that your website pre-educates and helps self-select on your preferred client. So, what I did was I put an ad in the newspaper, and in the ad in the newspaper, I asked like two questions. The very top of that ad, I said, are you a proactive, people-oriented professional who is a persuasive communicator with a high sense of urgency, a great attention to detail, and is a team player? And you also have these qualifications, which were the minimum qualifications of the position. And if you are, submit your resume to XXX. And so then I got all of these resumes. But the people that I selected when I ended up giving them an assessment were exactly the profile that I was looking for. So just people will respond to the words that you put up in your marketing copy as well, especially if you're honing in on a specific kind of a profile that you want to do business with. And so understanding who your preferred client is, understanding the hardwiring that you want to work with, understanding the sales funnel that people will come through to work with you, making sure that you not only build your skill, but build your system that helps them pre-educate, pre-qualify, and self-select into your programs and services, then you're going to increase your chances of sealing the deal, but more authentically and every time. Why? Because you're going to feel like you can be more authentic because now you're honing in on those areas that that will target your client, and you will find it an easier discussion because now you're focused on the client rather than being focused on trying to sell something. And so when you understand how you're naturally wired and how your client is naturally wired, you're going to understand how they make decisions. You're going to understand why you make the decisions you make and how you make the decisions you make. And you can have a much richer conversation as a result of all of that. So again, just to recap, somebody who's team orientation, remember, how you close the sale is give them a case for advancing a proposal. You don't want a lot of conflict or debate. If you're conversely dealing with somebody who's an independent expediter, that real go-getter, you want somebody who, you want to make sure you talk in bullet points, goal-oriented bullet points. You want to be task-oriented, and you want to be results-oriented. If it's more of an internal thinker, you're going to give them time to think and process what you're saying. And remember, they typically will like their information in email or phone. So if you want to have a face-to-face conversation or you want a phone conversation, it would be important for you to make that very clear to them of how you're going to follow up with them. And maybe you do schedule that face-to-face communication because they will revert back to their natural hardwiring, so remember that. External thinkers, those promoters, those people that are like the face-to-face communication, remember, they need to be acknowledged for what they're saying. So you want to make sure that you acknowledge what they're saying, perhaps by, you know, reiterating a piece of what they said to make sure that they understand you and or you understood them. By saying something like, so if I understood you, you said this and this, or you need this, this, and this. You know, and they will acknowledge you back. Give them also time, external thinkers, give them also time to talk through a situation or talk through an issue. They need that to make sense for themselves. If you're dealing with somebody who processes information very quickly, make sure you're keeping up with the pace of them, but if you're working with somebody who's more methodical and step-by-step, it's going to be important for you to tell them the next step in the process. Interesting story, I did have a gentleman that came in and he was very nice and chatty, and I recognized that he was a person who was very orderly and next step. And I noticed, though, he was very anxious in meeting with me. And immediately what I said to him was, well, would it be helpful if I just kind of let you know what the next steps of this coaching process were? And immediately I saw this relief come over him, and he said, yes, that would be great. So I knew immediately what the type of profile that he was, and it helped him make his experience and his decision-making much easier just by recognizing that. If you're dealing with somebody who's more informal, remember, you're going to have to do the follow-up. People who are more informal, look at roles as guidelines, you need to follow up with them. And finally, the people that are more judgment and proof, you're going to make sure that you have plenty of time to answer all their questions, and you do want to ask them, what would prevent you from moving forward? What would prevent you from moving forward? And allow them just that space to tell you what it is they would move, you, that what would stop them from moving forward. Now remember, if you're dealing with somebody who's not only a team player, okay, doesn't like a lot of conflict, and somebody who's judgment and proof, not only do they not like a lot of conflict, they want judgment and proof. But if they need to tell you, no, I don't want to work with you, that's going to be very conflict. So what you may end up doing is getting an email from them that says no thank you. So if you have a touch base meeting with them that says, you know, this is what they're doing, you know, let's meet, let's discuss your decision, make sure you have that time and date in mind. But again, people that are team orientation, they don't like a lot of conflict, and if you didn't meet their judgment or proof, because they want to avoid any conflict, they may end up emailing you the answer no if they don't want to work with you. So just be aware that some profiles are just going to do that because they want to avoid any conflict. And they look at saying no to you as conflict. So that's just part of part of the process with their particular profile. Summarize, when you're looking at your entire process of decision making, make sure you not only have the skill, but you have the systems. And the systems are, what is your decision making process that people have before they even get to you? Okay, so how can you pull them in? How can you get continuous market data? How can you, where are they even before they need to work with you from a mindset standpoint? What are they thinking? What are they doing? This is going to help you build systems that bring in people into your pipeline on a continuous basis. Remember, when they do get to you, you want to provide choices, and you want to provide choices with them in the kinds of price points that you provide, in the kind of choices that they have in working with you. Remember, too, that independent expediters, I did forget to mention this, independent expediters like to put their thumbprint on things. So they want to have choices simply because they need to put their thumbprint on it. And it becomes more of a conversation of which choice do you want, rather than this is the only choice. And when there's only this is the only choice, it's the yes and no and go. And what that means is, yes, I'll work with you, or no, I won't, and I'll go. So remember to have choices in the kinds of ways that people work with you. It also increases your conversion rates because people might work with you at different price points. So, for example, somebody who's more skeptical, somebody who's more information, may come and work with you at a lower price point until you prove it to them, because they're about proof and information, until you prove it to them that they will invest in you further. Okay? So they're going to take baby steps, maybe, in working with you till they get to that big product. Okay? So, or that, you know, bigger priced product. So you really want to take that into consideration as well in your process and in your offerings, whether it's, your service offerings or your product offerings. And of course, when they select one, then you can say great, and you seal the deal more often in that way. So, what's missing for many people is a system, a sales funnel, and what that first step is in working with you, and as well as the choices. So remember, you have all of that in your system. I just want to remind, just a couple of reminders, if you joined us late, remember, on the 22nd of September, we have the webinar series, Continuous Clients in Cash. So for those of you who may not have a lead generation system and bring in prospects on a daily basis, we do have that coming up. And if you have any questions about today's high content call, remember that you can submit those, and we'll have our next Q&A call on August 24th, and you can submit those to info@accelerateassociates.com, and we'll make sure that we get those questions answered. Let's see if I've forgotten anything today. I just want to make sure we're going over my notes here. I think that was it. So remember, it's one part skill, one part system, and how are you creating your entire relationship? Know about those motivational drivers that impact the sales process when you're meeting with someone. How you're communicating with them, what you're communicating to them, and really pay attention to how your prospects want to receive their information and then speak in their language. And you can do that certainly very authentically, but just understand how the other person is wired. And when you have that system, when you have your sales funnel, and when you start looking at your own skill in sealing the deal, all three of those will help you dramatically improve your conversion rates and your conversion rates from prospects to ideal clients. I think that about sums it up for today, and I want to thank everybody for coming to the Success Circle call, your hidden hardwiring that reveals your decision-making needs and your clients too. And hopefully this also helped you learn a little bit more, not only about decision making, but about sealing the deal. Thank you all for coming to the Success Circle High Content Call. As always, if you have any comments or questions, please submit those to info@accelerateassociates.com. Happy to answer those questions and make any improvements that we can on future high content calls, or if there's something too that was missing from today that you'd like to see in a future high content call, feel free to email us. Just as a reminder, I did email all the Success Circle members, but if you haven't yet responded, please do so on future high content calls you would like to see covered, maybe in greater detail, and we'll be sure to add those to next year's high content calls. We are in the process of putting that together. I very much value your opinion and would like to know what would be of most help and value to you for these high content calls. So don't forget to submit that to info@accelerateassociates.com. Well, I think that concludes our session for today. Again, I want to thank everyone. I'm Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates. Thanks for coming, and until next time, create a great life. Bye now.